Today we're looking at the God kind of faith. Amen? And I'm teaching today in the background that there's a lot of corruption and adulteration in the world and in the church today. The Bible said it. Now in the last days, there will be corruption and adulteration. So there's a battle for truth. And John chapter 8 verse 32 tells you, you shall know the truth. And the truth what? Open your Bible to King James. Amen. Open your Bible to James. Oh, John 8:32, King James Version. That's why I told you that sometimes, yeah, you need to go back to the original. So you have the strongest concentration of the scotch. John 8:32, King James Version, anybody? John 8:32, King James Version. Yes? Yes. I'm coming to you, young people. Make sure you're not on any form of social media. You are here to engage with the word. John 8:32.
And you shall know the truth.
And you shall know the truth.
And the truth shall make you free.
And the truth shall what?
Make you
free. Now, let's read it from another version. So, New Living or New King James. Anybody? Or even let's try that your beautiful Bible there. John 8:32. Anyone ready? John 8:32. Any other version? New Living, New King James? Yes, go for it. Yes, please follow. Go on, please.
And you shall know the truth.
And you shall know the truth.
And the truth shall make you free.
And the truth shall make you free. So that's New King James. Okay, New Living Translation. John 8:32.
And you will know the truth.
You will know the truth.
And the truth will set you free.
And the truth will set you free. Question. What is the difference between the truth setting you free and the truth making you free? Hello? Is there a difference between the truth setting you free and the truth making you free? Anybody? I can give you a clue if you, but without a clue, try. Well, I can give you the clue, but try. Yes, Lord.
Is it like being set free is like if you're like tied to something and somebody cuts you loose, but somebody making you free is like soldiers who fight to keep you free against people who are trying to oppress you?
You're very close. You started off on the note I wanted you to go. Well, you've not nailed it fully, but you're close. You're very close. Yes, anybody wants to nail it, just follow that line. Setting you free. Being set free and being made free. It's a fine line of difference. Yes?
If you are trapped in darkness, then you'll be set free.
Okay, yeah, anybody else? Set free versus made free. It's following the line of what she said, but just to nail it clearly. Yes, then I take that.
Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the truth. If you believe in Jesus and you trust in him and you know that he is the truth, then he will set you free.
Why is that different from being made free? You want to go? You can leave it. That's correct. And that's, so let me explain it. See, Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are what? Who's with me? And all things are what? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. When you receive Jesus into your life, when you repent of your sins and you receive Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. And if you've not done that, you are not saved. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and what? And the life. No one. That's exclusive, absolute. Comes to the Father except through me. So when you receive Jesus, yeah, and you genuinely making your Lord and Savior, yeah, it comes in. You are born again. Amen? And Jesus came to set you what? Free. Yeah? That is stage one. That's what? Stage one. You can be set free and yet not live free. Amen? Someone was locked in a cell. Yeah? And then someone came and opened the cell. They have been set what? But they can remain in the cell. Amen? They have been set free. The cell has been opened. The locks have been opened. The gate has been opened. But they can still remain there. Amen? To be made free, yeah, means that you experience the fullness of what? Of the freedom. You walk out of that cell. Amen? And you live like a free person. Amen? But to be able to do that, you need to know the truth. Amen? If you don't know the truth, you can be set free and still be living in bondage. Amen? You can be thinking I'm free and still be in bondage. Because you don't know what? You don't know the truth. Now read for me John 8:31. The key is there. John 8:31. Someone else. John 8:31. John 8:31. Please follow your Bible. John 8:31. It tells us the key to knowing the truth.
I'm reading from the NLT. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciple if you remain faithful to my teachings."
Amen. They already believed in him. Am I right? But now says that, look, if you continue in my word, if you remain faithful in my teachings, yeah, that is the key to knowing the truth. Amen. It's not enough to just believe in Jesus. You have to pay attention to his word. As you stay there, your eyes will open. Amen? So we say, as I stay in the word, paying attention, my eyes will open. That is why one of the biggest strategies of the devil in your life is distraction. Amen? If the devil can succeed in distracting you, yeah, you will not know the truth. Because when you are distracted, you are not paying attention. You'll be missing what God is trying to show you. Amen? If God is trying to show me something and I'm not attentive, I will miss it. So distraction is a very big tool of Satan to keep Christians, believers in bondage. The truth you know will make you what? Free. Amen? And the reason is because the devil is a thief. Can we say, the devil is a thief? So when you see the devil stealing, yeah? You can't get angry with him. That's what he does. Amen. So how are you going to checkmate the devil? How are you going to checkmate the devil? Because his permanent ministry is to steal and to kill and to what? And to destroy. So I need to checkmate the devil. It is the devil that is superintending bondage. Any bondage in your life, the spirit behind it ultimately is who? Is Satan. Amen? Hallelujah. So the devil knows that Jesus has set you free. He knows. Yeah. But he also knows that you don't know what belongs to you in Christ because you're not paying attention. Amen? So, he will attempt to keep you in bondage. Hello? A thief is a tempter and an attempter. Yeah? Those who boggle, if someone's bugging out, they will attempt. They will check. Yeah? They say, are the windows opened? Then they will attempt until they find resistance before they flee. You see? So the devil knows you are born again. He knows you come to church. But he will attempt. You with me? So to kick the devil out of your life, you need to know the truth. It's not head knowledge. It's spirit knowledge. It's called revelation. Amen? When you know the truth, yeah, you can kick Satan out of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the key to knowing the truth is to continue in his word. Stay there. Pay attention. Be in church on Sunday. Amen? It's the simplest interpretation. Amen? Like we said yesterday, it's 2 out of 24/7. It's very little. Small. Small thing that you can use to keep the devil far away. So small. 2 hours out of 24/7. Just be there. Just be there. Because when you are there, you can hear his word. Amen? And as you are hearing his word, that word is changing you. You are knowing the truth. When the devil shows up in disguise, because you have heard the word over and over again, you can identify him from far off. Before the devil comes now to manipulate you and cheat you, because he's a cheat. You can see, oh, I see the strategy. Long before he's, you know, when he's setting up, because you know the truth, you can identify him. He's disguised, but you can say, I know, I can see you. Hallelujah. But you can't see him if you don't know the truth. Amen. Because he is the master of deception and distraction. Hallelujah. And I always say, for the devil to deceive you, the first thing he will do is to distract you. The devil can never deceive you until he has what? Distracted you. So that's why the master strategy of Satan is distraction. And the master way to overcome this devil is attention. The Bible said, be sober. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Be what? Be sober and be what? Vigilant. That's attention. Amen? And what am I to pay attention to? To God and to his word. Amen? You see, if I have God on my side. In fact, actually, I have God on my side. So if we say I have God on my side. It's not the God problem. Amen? The problem is if I am on the Lord's side. Amen. So if I am on the Lord's side, the devil cannot dominate me. Now, I didn't say if I have God on my side. See, God is for us. Amen. God is what? But am I on his side? Am I aligning myself with him? Am I aligning myself with his will? Am I aligning myself with his purposes? Yeah, am I staying in his word? Am I repenting when I miss it? We all miss it. Amen? We all what? Miss it. We all. But the minute I missed it, I quickly realign. That's what I want to live my life. The moment I realize I missed it, no argument, no excuse, no defense, no story. Just quickly realign. Because when I am aligned with God, the devil cannot dominate me. You can try. I'm this say can't try. Yeah? But you can't prevail. Amen? Amen? Even the devil tried on Jesus. He was new to the cross. Amen? The devil thought it was over. But on the third day, amen? Jesus what? He rose again. Victorious. Never to die again. Bible said, if the prince was this word, they knew, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. So we're looking at faith, and you may think, oh, what everything I said so far, what does it have to do with faith? Yeah? So I'll teach you faith in a deeper way. Not just on the baby level, but a deeper level. So open to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And let's just first of all define faith. What is faith? Now, this faith I'm defining at this point is general definition of faith. It can apply both spiritually or physically. It can apply scientifically or morally. Anywhere, take this definition, it will apply. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Who is ready to read? Hebrews 11:1, yes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1.
Should I read?
Whatever version you have, I'll take it.
Okay. Hebrews 11:1, King James Version. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen. Unfortunately, this is one of those moments I will tell you that the King James is not doing justice to that verse. Amen. And I tell you, I spent many years, I spent more than 30 years, much more, on King James. So, King James is my friend. Amen. But it's not doing justice to him at all. Hebrews 11:1. Another version.
New Living Translation.
Yes.
Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. Mm-hmm. It is the evidence of things we cannot see.
Amen. It's not doing justice to it. Yes. Another version. Hebrews 11:1. After three, I'll tell you the one you should read. Hebrews 11:1. Tell us which version, please.
Amplified.
Amplified. Go for it.
Now, faith is the assurance, title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of the reality. Faith comprehends as facts what cannot be experienced by physical senses.
Amen. That is better. Amen. But the problem with Advaita, it talks too much. And normally when you talk too much, you will say the right thing and the wrong thing. It's standard. Yeah? That's why God is not a talkative. Amen. Is there anybody find the version I'm looking for that gives you excellent definition of faith that you can apply both spiritually and physically, scientifically and morally? NIV, I'm not sure.
I've got the NIV.
Okay, read it. Then I'll tell you the one.
Okay. Now faith is confident in what we hope for and yes. Assurance about what we do not see.
Yes, that's better. That's good. It's not bad. And he didn't talk too much. Yeah. Okay, let's have ESV or RSV. Yes. Is that ESV? Amazing. I didn't know that. Go for it. Hebrews 11:1. This is the thing of faith that you can apply in any dimension. Yeah, go on.
Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
Amen. Faith is what? The assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things what? Not seen. Amen. Let's apply it physically. I come into this hour, and it's all dark. Yeah? And I want some light. So what am I going to do? If you come into the hall or the room and it's all dark, what are you going to do? Yeah. Now, the moment before you press that switch, you have some conviction. You have some assurance that when you press it, light will come on. That's faith. Amen? My beautiful wife is sitting on this chair. Please, can you stand up? Look at the church and smile. Receive their smile. Receive their love. You know, she's been early this morning going to help someone out. The Lord reward you. Now, you can sit down. How come you were so confident when you were sitting down on that chair that you would not fall down? You have assurance. You have conviction. Amen? That's faith. If she didn't have assurance or conviction, she won't sit on that seat. If you feel that a seat is going to come under your weight, are you going to sit there? Amen? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. In any dimension, that's faith. So you see, no human being can live life without faith. When you put on your glasses, why do you put it on? Let me go to that corner. When you put on your glasses, yeah, why? Why do you put on your glasses?
To get clearer vision.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, let's assume that you're looking at something and you're not seeing it clearly, and then you bring out your glasses. Why do you bring it out?
Because I'm sure I'll see clearly.
Because you have assurance and conviction that when you put it on, things will change in the right direction. That's faith. If not, yeah, if you didn't have that type of assurance and conviction, you would take that glasses and squeeze it under your feet like a mosquito. Amen? So every human being lives by faith. Someone say, "I know, but you know, I don't need faith. What I have is science." But science itself is based on faith. It's based on knowledge. But I'll show you the link. You see, faith is acquired. All types of faith is acquired through knowledge. If you don't have knowledge, you don't have faith. Let me just explain that again. Every type of faith you have in your life is acquired to what? Knowledge. It could be a book you read. It could be an experience you had. It could be what someone told you. But one way or the other, you can never have assurance about anything or conviction about anything without first coming in contact with some knowledge about it. Question? Any question? This is just standard definition of faith. Amen? For example, before I traveled to the UK, I never put on a jacket in my life. Can you relate with that? Yeah? Can you relate with that? In fact, all I was looking for before I traveled to the UK was a fan or an air conditioner. Yeah? Anybody relating with that? Hallelujah. So to me, in Africa, in Nigeria when I was growing up, a winter jacket has no value. I could use it to wipe the floor. Amen. Well, when I entered the UK and I came in November, then I knew the value of what? Of a jacket. Hallelujah. You can't have faith in what you've not come in contact with. The basis of faith is knowledge. Hallelujah. Whether physically or what? Or spiritually. Amen. It's what you know. Say what you say, it's what I know that determines what I believe. And I want to tell you now, logically, there is nothing that you truly know. Amen? Everything you know is based on you have received information and you have chosen to believe it. Everything you know, including your name. Sorry, sister. What's your name? Catherine? I gave you Catherine the other day. Amen. I'm just joking. Okay. I know. How do you know your name? Is that name?
Because I've lived all my life bearing the name, been called by people with the name as well.
See, that's why you know. What if your father came to you and told you that, actually, that was never your name? What would you do?
I'll just carry on bearing it anyways.
Yeah. Amen. So say, I know my name is Ben. No. You believe that information. You've accepted it. Yeah? As your truth. That's what I'm saying. My truth is different from your truth. They're really talking about my belief is different from your belief. Because when it comes to truth, truth does not change. You cannot have your truth and have my truth. There's only one standard truth. And that standard truth is God's truth. Amen? But we cannot have different beliefs, different opinions. We are all receiving information. We are all choosing what to believe and what not to believe. Yeah? We are all forming convictions based on information. That's faith. Amen? That's just natural human faith. Amen? Now let's take it to the spiritual. Question. What is the God kind of faith? So I've just showed you that what we define in Hebrews 11:1, according to ESV, is a general definition of faith that applies in all dimensions. So now, we now want to move from general to specific. What is the God kind of faith? So the God kind of faith is a different kind of faith to the natural faith. Yeah? What is the God kind of faith? Look, let me help you. The natural faith is based on your senses because you receive information through your senses. What you see, what you hear. It's not only based on, you see, it's very wrong when someone comes and say, if I don't see it, I won't believe. It's wrong. That's one out of five senses. You cannot see, you may not see something, but you may hear it. Sometimes when you are about to cross the road, you're not just depending on only what you see. I tell my sons, keep your ears what? Open. Because then zoom in from the back. Yeah? So, it's wrong to say, if I can't see it, is not real. It's a lie. Even in the natural. You know, someone goes past you and you smell a nice perfume. Did you see it? Huh? And sometimes, what you smell can determine how you behave. Irrespective of what you saw. Isn't it? So, your five senses. You can see, you can hear, you can smell, you can what? Feel, and you can taste. All are sources of information. And all are sources of, all are basis for your faith. Yeah? And also I want to explain to you that in all cases, faith is a choice. The fact that you have received information does not mean you will believe it. Two people can receive the same information and go off with different beliefs. Yeah? Someone comes to you and tells you, I love you. Yeah? Someone says, that person really loves me. They're like, no, he's deceiving me. Same person, same statement, but different convictions. Yeah? Amen? So now, let's move higher. What is the God kind? So, say with me, say, we all need faith to have a life. Any life at all. You see, if you're going to be in a friendship, you need faith. If you're going to distrust and mistrust everybody, you will never have a good friend and you will never be a good friend. Yeah? Do you agree? If you can't trust anybody, you can't have a family. Imagine that if I don't trust my wife, how can I eat her food? I'm in trouble. I can't go to the restaurant too. I don't trust them. Yeah? I can't even go to Tesco. I don't trust them. So I'm going to have to plant my food in my own garden, like Brother Nick. But I will need the skills which I don't have. Yeah. But even when the food is ready, how do I cook it? I don't trust the gas company. I don't trust the water company. So how am I going to cook now? So I'm going to go hungry. What? I don't even trust the insects that but I manipulated the food when it was in the soil. You can't have a life. You can't have a life. Even your phone. You can't trust it. Are you sure that it did not put something in that phone that is spying on you right now and broadcasting you to someone somewhere? Amen? So, a human life is based on faith. Even for the atheist, he has to trust his car. That car will not break down. Otherwise, it will not set off. Amen? So we are looking at now at... So I just want to debunk the idea that there's a separation between faith and science. No. It's because we believed in our discoveries. That's why we can live based on them. Amen? But what is the God kind of faith? That is where we're going. Higher level. The God kind. This is, there are many kinds of faith, but there's not a God kind of faith, which is the one that we really are discussing here. Yes.
That's the faith that believes on the word of God.
Yes, it's faith that believes on the word of God. I want to take as many definitions as possible, because actually there are many definitions. Then my goal is to give you some deeper definitions today of the God kind of faith. Yes.
I think there are two dimensions to this. One is you have to believe in God.
Believing in God?
Then you should, your boundaries should be limitless. Like, you shouldn't depend on your five senses or anything. Like, you just believe. Okay. Have that faith.
Okay. So, like, if I say, I believe I can fly. Is that a God kind of faith? I was testing the second statement. I was taking the second statement. Amen. Yes, the God kind of faith. Yes.
Okay, I just believe that the God kind of faith is just a complete trust.
Trust.
And complete confidence.
Believing in God, believing the word of God, trusting in God.
Complete confidence in God.
Complete confidence. Yes. Did you have something to say? Pass it forward and then you pass it back. Go on.
I'm a simple man, so just a couple of words. Truth and love. And I feel you can work a lot from that. And I think if you have belief in truth, what is actual truth, that interlinks with love and vice versa.
Yes, so the God kind of faith is based on truth. Even just on the fact that we know that God is true. For example, in the God kind of faith, you cannot just be trusting God to destroy all your enemies. Everybody that disagrees with you, swat them. You need some witchcraft for that. Amen? The reason why people do witchcraft is they want to be in total control. Yeah? By the time you want to be in total control and use God, you are practicing witchcraft. Amen? Because God acts based on truth. And because God acts based on truth, everything he does is righteous. Amen? Yes, Brother Tim.
I believe that the God kind of faith is, a faith that is not seen. Something you can't see, but you believe in. An example will be, I'm in a situation where I don't know, how I can move from one level to the next. You know, every other thing is looking bleak. It's not even looking, but I still have that strong faith and believe, you know. So I can't see the future, but I believe in the God I serve and doing what he's asked me to do. So based on that, it's not seen, it's invisible, but you still believe something that is not seen, you know. That's the way I see it.
So basically, the God kind of faith is a faith that goes beyond the physical senses. Amen. It transcends the physical. Amen. The God kind of faith transcends, or goes beyond what? The physical. Yes? Do you want to say one more thing? Anybody? Fine. Thank you. All our elections are good. I love them. Amen? Now, let's go to Hebrews. Today I'm taking you like a university teacher. It's line upon line. Yeah? We look at Hebrews 11:1. Let's look at Hebrews 11:2. It tells us. So Hebrews 11:1. Hello, are you with me? Are you enjoying this diet? Sometimes I get this feeling when I'm preparing for children. My assignment is to prepare the diet. You know, like, I can't match some people in this church in their culinary skills. Do you get my English? In their kitchen skills. They are just on their level. And I thank God for them. Amen? And I thank God they're in my life too. Amen? It's not one person. Many. But spiritually, when I'm preparing for something, I get this sense that I'm preparing a good dish for the people of God. And I feel that because he said man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? So we are both cooks. I'm not cooking the bread and jollof rice and lamb. But I'm preparing the word. Amen? This is revelation, and it's also coming to me as the Holy Spirit is revealing it. Hebrews 11:1 defines for you general faith in all dimensions. If you have a good Bible version for that definition, which is like the perfect definition there is ESV, RSV. That says faith is the assurance of things so far and the conviction of things not seen. That's general. But Hebrews 11:2 tells you, it defines the God kind of faith. Hebrews 11:1 defines the general kind of faith. Hebrews 11 defines the God kind of what? Of faith. So let's read Hebrews 11:2. Whatever version you have, I'll take it.
New King James. For by the elders obtain a good testimony.
Sorry, did we miss something? Oh, wait, let me just check whether it's three we need to read. Let me just check. Just a minute.
It should be three then.
It should be three. Yeah. Okay, let me just check to make sure that I'm doing the flow well. Hebrews chapter 11. 3. Yeah. Thank you, sir. So let me just correct myself. Hebrews 11:1 defines for you what? The general kind of faith. Hebrews 11:3 defines for you what? The God kind of faith. So read it.
New King James still. By faith, we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible.
Amen. Yes, another version. Thank you. Which version is that?
New King James.
Good, good, good. Thank you for that hand. I can see that you are engaging. I love it. You see, when you are engaging, it makes you look younger and more beautiful. Hebrews 11:3.
By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command,
mm-hmm.
and that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the God kind. Amen. More versions. Which version was that?
New Living.
Okay. Any other version? Yes. Hebrews 11:3.
By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God,
mm-hmm.
so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Amen.
Amen. That is the God kind. Amen. By faith, the whole world was brought into being. King James says it was framed. I like it. It's a good framing. It was framed. The whole world. Everything that is tangible. Amen. Everything that is visible. Everything that exists was framed. The material world was framed by the word of God. So that the things that you see were not made from things that what? Are visible. That is the God kind. So let me just basic teaching. Not too much today. Just like, I will have part 2-3. What are the key words in the God kind of faith? Let's ask our young people. All our young people here. Yeah, so you are between 11 and 18. The answer is in Hebrews 11:3. Read it. Any version you want. Everyone, I'm going to ask you. Apart from the visitor. So, I'm looking for the key words in the God kind of faith. If I want the God kind of faith, what is the number one key word? Now, every answer you give me, just a word or a phrase. Yeah? It's all in Hebrews 11:3. What are the key words for the God kind of faith? If I want the God kind of faith, what are the key words? Yes, Audrey.
Command.
Command, yes. Okay. I'll come back to you. Give you a bit more time to think. More? That's not the number one key word, by the way. If I want the God kind of faith, what or who is the central figure? Youth. Only youth. Yes. Who's ready? Youth? Yeah, all the answers are in Hebrews 11:3. It's basic comprehension test. Yeah, it's nothing super spiritual. Just the key words in this text. Come on, you're just reading it. Just the text is made up of sentences which are made up of words. What are the important words in Hebrews 11:3? That's what I'm asking. What are the most important words in Hebrews 11:3? That is, you don't mention a word that is not in that verse in your Bible.
Faith.
Faith, yes. I'll take that. More?
Inherent trust and enduring confidence or wisdom. And
Is that there?
Yeah.
In 3?
Yes.
Which version are you?
Amplified.
Change to a simpler version, yeah? Go to NLT, KJV, or ESV. Because Amplified, I told you, he talks too much. Yeah.
God.
God! Everyone, put your hands together for Andrew. I will explain that one just because of time. But let's take all the keywords. Then I will explain just only 2 words today. Then next time, after Easter, we'll continue. Yes, more keywords? More keywords. There's still more words in that. Come on, just keyword. What's the keyword there? Read it, look at it, and tell me what word stands out apart from what has been mentioned.
What is seen was not made out of what was visible.
Yes. It's not by sight. Yes, more?
Invisible,
yes. Somebody has not even told me the second keyword there. Look at King James or New King James.
Word.
The word. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Should I explain that to you quickly? Because I had a discussion with someone to help you. John 1 1 is saying about two persons. In the beginning was the Word, that Jesus Christ. The Word was with God. That God is the Father. But the Word himself was God. Means that essentially, he shares in that Godship. Let me explain. It's like two brothers. You have brother Tim and his brother. They have the same surname. They are equally entitled to that surname. Yeah? So brother Tim is Ojo and his brother is also Ojo. But that doesn't make them one and the same person. Yeah? They are still two persons, but sharing in that identity of that surname. They belong to that same family. They enjoy the benefits and the responsibilities of that same family. Hallelujah. You see, the Trinity of God is not a singularity. It's a unity. It's a perfect unity. See, it's not like our unity. You know, for example, the Bible said, a man shall be married to his wife and they shall become what? One flesh. Yeah? But at a human level, we may not experience perfection of that oneness because of pride and selfishness. But in the divine level, it's modeled for us. Perfect harmony. No contradiction. No competition. Yeah? Perfect harmony. Really? But let me tell you something. Although God and Jesus are equally God, although the Father and Jesus are equally God, the Father and Jesus are not equal. Let me explain that. See, but Tim and his brother, they are equally Ojo. But he's older than his brother. Amen? So they are equally Ojo, but they are not equal. The Father is greater than the Son. Amen? He said to Jesus, says, he said, my Father is greater than I. Hallelujah. But the point I wanted to make is that in God is modeled perfect unity, perfect harmony. Yeah? So you know what God told us? He said, at the mouth of every two, or what? Or three witnesses, every word will be confirmed. And that is modeled in God himself. Amen? So for God to give you perfect confirmation that I'm God, you have two witnesses, God and Jesus, and three witnesses, which is God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And it's in 1 John. He said there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And these three are one. Amen? So then, three is the number of perfect witness. What is three? The number of perfect witness. Amen? Just put your hands together for the Lord. He's a great God. He's awesome. He's awesome. It's not like any other God. It's not like any other God. Yeah? He's in his own class. Amen? Okay, let me see how we're doing with time. Okay. I'm not doing bad today with time. We'll soon be rounding up in 5 minutes. Amen? The God kind of faith. The first word about the God kind of faith is God. You don't have the God kind of faith if God is not at the center. If it is you that you are the center, it's not the God kind of faith. You will soon be practicing witchcraft. Amen? It's God. God is at the center of the God kind of faith because he's the owner. Amen? Second thing that of the God kind of faith is based on the Word of God. If there's something you are doing with God kind of faith but that does not include the Word of God, has nothing to do with the Word of God, it's not based on the Word of God, just only what you want, it's not the God kind of faith. Amen? And thirdly, the God kind of faith is not based on physical senses. You know why? Because it's a higher dimension. By faith we understand that the worlds, the things we can see, was created, was framed by the Word of God. And to explain it to you, say, so that what you can see is not made from things which can be seen. Are you following me? So, for example, I can see Sister glory. But she said, it's not made from things we can be seen. Amen? Everything you see now, everything you feel, touch something. Touch anything you can touch. Touch your bag, touch your chair, touch your friend, touch anything. Touch it. You didn't feel that? You didn't feel that? Yeah. And the Bible says that that's not all there is to life. Amen? It's something higher. But if there was just something higher, and it's a different world, then we have no discussion. But it's saying to that what is higher, which cannot be seen, can affect, can change, can frame, can modify what can be seen. That's the God kind of faith. Amen? In the God kind of faith, the spiritual is higher than the physical, and the spiritual can change, modify, affect the physical. Any question? And then we round up. Where's my mic? Who has my mic? Where? Oh, he's here. All right. I take one or two questions, and then I'll round up on just to stamp in your mind the God kind of faith. Go on.
It's not a question, but it's more just what I'm kind of perceiving from what you're saying. Like, if I was to see, say, like, a sun setting, like, you can explain what that would be like, you know, in terms of physics or whatever, but that feeling that you have, I think that determines a lot more about a God kind of love than what could be explained. And I think that sensation cannot be explained. And that is what I would define as a God kind of love.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's excellent. You see, what did the devil always trying to convince you? That you are just a physical being. And that all that matters is your material needs. Yeah? But you are not just physical. You are emotional. And you are also spiritual. Amen? You don't just have only physical senses. You can perceive things beyond your physical senses. You can understand things beyond your physical senses. There's a depth. Even when you see something, there's a depth of perception. You can see a rose, another person sees a rose. Yeah? And maybe, for example, I don't know. I don't know what cows do. Cows do with rose. If a cow sees a rose, they may think of food. But if you see a rose, you are thinking that you are perceiving it beyond sight. At the emotional level. Sometimes it even goes deeper to the spiritual level. Amen? Yes, like final comment, then I will round up.
Yeah, a question. It's possible that some Christians think they're in faith, but they're not. They are convinced that they have faith, but they're not. They don't have that faith that they need at that point in time. And if so, how can they, retract and move towards
faith? Amen. So first question is it possible that some Christians have faith and they don't? Absolutely yes. And what they have is hope. Amen. Hope is an expectation. Yeah? That is based on nothing substantial. Hope is like a wish. Even positive thinking is what? What's positive thinking? Faith or hope? It's hope. It's hope. Amen. So the question is, how can they move from that to the God kind? Two things. You can never enter the God kind of faith without God at the center and the word of God as the driver. So, to be in God kind of faith, God needs to be what? He's the owner. Amen? Hallelujah. You can't use the God kind of faith to disobey the word of God. That's not faith. You are breaking the commandment of God and you are using faith. You are deceiving yourself. Hello? God is not there. God himself is the engine that empowers the God kind of faith. And what I was going to say God, to define God, you need the word of God. Time has run out, so let me give some definitions. We leave it there. We continue next time. So I just want to give some definition of faith, and I will also still repeat them by the email. So just summarize a bit of what you said, God kind, and then put in, give me some extras. Yeah? Faith is believing God. Say with me, say faith is believing God. Faith is trusting God. Faith is obeying God. Let me pause there. You don't truly believe something until you act on it. So it's not never true to say I believe and you're not acting. If you're not acting, it proves that your belief is fake. It's false religion. That's why the Bible says that faith without corresponding action is what? Is dead. Say with me, say faith is walking with God. Because God is one and center of faith. Faith is doing God's will. Say that with me. Faith is what? God told Abraham. You know, Abraham is father of faith. Why? What qualified him? God told him, leave your country, leave your family, leave everything, and go to somewhere I will show you. If he didn't leave, will he be father of faith? No. Faith is persevering in God's will. Say that with me. The voices are getting louder. Say, faith is persevering in God's will. See, if you're in faith, the God kind, you will know God's will and you will stay there and persevere. Even when other people are having quick fix, shortcuts, you will stay until you get the God kind of result. Not the hustling kind of result. Faith is staying faithful to God's truth. Can you say that with me? Faith, according to Hebrews 11:6, is pleasing God. Say that with me. Faith is what? Pleasing God. Now let me take it. Two more. Faith is putting God at the center. Can you say that with me? And faith is taking God at His word. Amen. And that's God kind of faith. He's at the center. If I can take God at His word, you see, I'm hanging on Him. I'm depending on Him. And He's the driver. It is His character. It is His word. It is His righteousness, His truth, His purposes that are defining my faith. And the Bible says that faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. On the word of God is the foundation. The word of God is the reason why you have conviction. The word of God is the reason why you have assurance. In fact, to be in faith, you have taken this as the gospel truth. Amen? When I take the word of God as the gospel truth, I have started my journey of what? Of faith. If the word of God is no longer the gospel truth, I am not in faith. Let's rise up and pray and talk to God. I believe that God has spoken with you. I could say much more, but it's better to just leave it at this level, simple. And even in those simplicities, God has spoken to you today. I don't know exactly what God has spoken to you about, but He has spoken to you. Something I need to remind you about is that every time God is speaking to you, how you respond to it determines whether you are in faith or not. A lot of people in false religion, they are just in the promotion of themselves, present and future. They are not in faith. They come to church or they quote some scripture, but not in faith because God is not at the center. If God is not at the center, you can't be in faith. God is the driver of the God kind of faith. I hear God. I believe God. I trust God. I obey God. I persevere with God. I stay in God's will until He produces the right result. I stay there. I take God at His word. I hang my all on Him. I follow Him. I do His will. Hallelujah. I partner with God. That's faith. When you are partnering with God, you are in faith. It's easy to people know people who are not in faith. They will find it very difficult to partner with God. You already know that they are not in faith. They don't have faith. Faith? They don't have faith. Someone who cannot partner with God does not have faith. Because God is worth little to them. Amen? Bible says, whoever comes to God must believe that God is what? He is for real. Hallelujah. And that's the God kind. And the benefit is that when you follow the God kind of faith, you will get the God kind of results. Say with me, say when I follow the God kind of faith, I will get the God kind of result. Do you know what God kind of result is? It's a result that glorifies God. It's a result that promotes righteousness. A result that promotes truth. A result that moves your life forward in a way that the devil is put under. Hallelujah. Just talk to God and say, Lord, I want to live by faith. Bible says the just shall live by faith. It's not general faith only. It's the God kind of faith. Based on God, based on the word of God, based on obedience, based on perseverance, based on righteousness, based on truth, based on partnership with God, based on taking God as his word, hallelujah, based on things that are not physically seen. They are spiritual realities. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because, Lord, we will grow in faith and we will produce fruit of righteousness. Your name will be glorified. The devil will be put under in every part of our lives. Every area is raising his ugly head, his ugly serpentine head. As we walk with you, that head of the serpent will be crushed in the name of Jesus. Is there any way where the devil is having his way in any life in this church today? We pray, Lord, that all as we, your people, rise up in living in genuine faith, every such person, we see that head of the serpent crushed totally in their lives in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't